Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, today we are celebrating the grand opening of Schlotzky's in Raymore at 2023 Foxwood Drive. It's a virtual celebration for the grand opening. They are open now, and you can go out there and enjoy a buy one, get one free entree all day long, and also buy the fabulous VIP swag bags, the value well over $400 or $500. Value is over $700. And you can buy it for just $30, the VIP swag bag. We're going to give one away again in this hour. But go to Schlotzky's, grand opening Raymore, 2023 Foxwood Drive, and you can get buy one, get one free entrees all day long if you mention the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHB. And right now we have our baseball insider, Buster Olney. Hello, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to send my condolences. I've just heard about how Jake is struggling with the new board, the new technology.
Right.
I will tell you that, you know, I consider myself to be as poor with technology as you can imagine. You know, when I was growing up on the dairy farm in Vermont, you know, my stepdad would try to explain to me about how to fix tractors, and all I was thinking about was, like, the Royals lineup construction. When, you know, where should Frank White hit in the lineup? None of that stuff did I absorb, and now I feel like that's kind of what Jake's going through here.
Exactly.
So just hang in there with him.
Well, be nice to me, guys.
We've been hanging in there with him for about a decade and a half, so
right.
Why should anything change now? So we're we're gonna keep pushing, all right? But
it's an
uphill
struggle. We know you're going uphill both ways, but that's okay.
Right. Like, you know, on that note, I'd like to see if we can get Jake to milk a cow. If that's something that's on the table, I'd like to make that happen. So maybe Buster, you could use your connections.
Yeah, when you do that. You know, get like a really big Holstein, you know, almost a ton, and you know, just when you, if in fact you get to that point, I've got some good warnings that'll, you know, potentially help Jake's state of mind.
What would be your number one warning if Jake was able to sit down in front of that Holstein?
Make sure you're not mounted by the cow. Okay,
wow.
If anyone who's worked on a farm, okay, knows that if you're wading through, and I mean WAD, you're going through a herd of cattle, you got to watch your back. Because it can definitely happen where all of a sudden a cow who's been a little frisky will start to make a move. And you got to have eyes in the back of your head. Forget what Patrick Mahomes deals with, okay? Any farmer who walks through a herd of cattle knows you got to have eyes in the back of your head.
Well, this leads to our next question. Of the three of us, Nate's worked on a farm. Nate,
yep.
Never been mounted by a cow?
I never was mounted by a cow, but I saw it happen. So, my stepdad has not had cattle for a long, long time, but when I was working on the farm, he did, and we used to have to, castrate. Sometimes.
Ooh.
and also round them up for, like, you know, in, you know, get their shots, their injections, and things like that. And yeah, you got to be careful. Buster's right.
Hey, good morning, Kansas City.
You know?
Enjoy your milk with your cereal today, right now, please.
I got another one for you too. Okay,
please.
If you get Jake to milk a cow and he starts to see the cow sort of rear back to cough, I mean, get out of Dodge. Get out of Dodge in a hurry. You know, don't go anywhere near the backside on that one, because that is, all I know is that there were a lot of trophies on the wall of the barn when I was growing up.
This will be available via podcast a little bit later on if you'd like to go
Fair
through
warning.
This again.
Okay, oh yeah, Buster. I saw. I remember seeing my stepdad like actually assist in the delivery of a baby calf one time, and I almost passed out on my feet. So, you know, you see some see some real things out there, don't you, Buster?
Oh, you do. Yeah, like believe me, when I went away to boarding school and I was 15 years old, and I was, you know, with kids who grew up in a lot wealthier backgrounds than I did. You know that game that we all like to play as kids when you're trying to make each other sick? I just tell them, I'm like, you don't want to go there with me. Like, no, I'm the king of this conversation. You will lose, and you don't want to go there with me based on what I saw growing up on the farm.
Oh, this is a different kind of interview for you.
But I'm still
enjoying
it.
Say it's always the same old thing. No, it's not.
No.
It is not.
Yep.
Not with Buster. Buster only from ESPN is our guest. All right, Buster. A week away from baseball, we think. Do we know where the Toronto Blue Jays will be playing?
No, we don't.
Oh, okay, good.
I think that, you know, they could theoretically wind up playing in Toronto. You know, they've been in constant conversation with the government in Canada, but, you know, we saw last week Travis Shaw reacting to the word that the players thought it was only a temporary thing, that, okay, we have to stay in our hotel during the summer camp, and then after that, you know, it'll kind of loosen up a little bit. It's not going to loosen up a little bit. The fine is up to $750,000, possible jail time for anybody who goes and breaks quarantine. And let's face it, if you're the Blue Jays and you're going to be traveling around and, you know, play a road series in Tampa Bay and play a road series at Yankee Stadium, you come back, you're going to be in quarantine. And the concerns are not only, of course, about the Blue Jays, but about any team going in there. Where, you know, if you're the Yankees, you're the Rays, you go into Canada, you're in your hotel, and you're basically going to be expected to never leave your hotel or the Rogers Center there, and that's going to be a challenge. I asked someone the other day, do they actually have people monitoring the entrances and exits for the hotel? And the answer I got back was, yeah, they do. So it's, in effect, a baseball prison if they play up there, given the current situation, which is why they continue to, you know, have conversations about whether or not it would be more feasible and more workable playing in the United States, like in a place like Buffalo.
Would Buffalo be able to accommodate?
Oh, I think that it's an unknown. I will tell you that a month ago, the Blue Jays, looking at this, determined that Buffalo was not workable. But given the challenges, I think that they're looking at Plan Bs and Plan Cs and Plan Ds, and I think every team is going through that, where they're imagining a situation where all of a sudden, you know, the mayor or the governor were to come down and deliver something. And it's a moving, first off, there's no precedent for any of this.
Right.
It's also a moving, you know, target. 2 days ago, I think it was the mayor of Philadelphia basically said, yeah, there's not going to be any sporting events in the city. And then yesterday, that person changed and said, well, maybe we'll have fans at Eagles games. I think because of the changing spikes in coronavirus numbers around the country, it's going to be a moving target through the whole process if they're able to get through it.
All right, as I mentioned, Buster, about a week away. And so where are we at right now as far as your confidence level that this time next week we'll be talking about baseball and everything starting on time?
Yeah, and when we started this, the summer camp, when I was calling around to teams and asking them, you know, how's it going? What's your feeling? How do you think this is going to go? Based on that, I gave it a 0% chance to get all the way through and a 5% chance to start. Now I can tell you that this week I'm hearing a lot more confidence. In the last 72 to 96 hours, people who at the beginning of this were skeptical are now saying, you know what, our players are doing a good job with this. You know, they're following the health and safety protocol. Everyone's taking it seriously. And so I put the odds of starting now at 85-90% because we're close, and let's face it, I think everyone's, it's a weird way to say it, it's a weird phrase, but smelling the start line. And I think that, you know, potentially they're going to push through. Now, there are still issues going on. You guys saw earlier this week the Houston Astros, they had to cancel a workout because there wasn't a test result that had come back in due time. George Springer the next day had to be held out of a workout because he didn't get his testing results in time. The Cubs had to have their coaching staff, manager David Ross, basically sit out a workout because there were concerns about exposure. You know, those type of things are going to go on, I think, throughout this thing, and there are going to be some questions on the fly about, okay, what happens if, for example, a starting pitcher gets word 2 hours before the game that there's some questions about his test? You know, those are things they're dealing with every day, all these questions that no one could have anticipated. But I think now there is, you know, an excitement level beginning to build about the fact that they can go back to doing what their lives are built around doing. That's playing baseball.
So protocols are going to come into question for every league that plays, Buster. And obviously, I've been following the MLS situation a lot because they've actually been the first men's team league back to play. And they've had their challenges. They've stuck through it so far. It seems like once they got through the initial wave of testing and having to send a couple teams home, they've been able to play the games and the numbers now. I think this a couple days ago, they announced that not a single person tested positive. And so it looks to be going well. But they've had some questions come up like, what happens if a guy on the active roster tests positive the day of the game? Yep. And they had to postpone one of their games because of that and move it back the next day. And I was thinking, okay, well, there's some flexibility there because you're not playing every day in soccer. But in baseball, you play every day. Of course, in baseball, you also have the possibility to play a doubleheader, things like that, the next day, I guess. You know, they have rainouts in baseball. But do you know, like, let's say that the Royals are getting ready to play a game at 7 o'clock, and one of the guys in the active roster, you know, they find out he tested positive that day. Will they still let the team go out and play the game that day? I mean, how much of a challenge is it going to be managing it, I guess, from a baseball perspective once we get into the season?
Well, and look, I think that the Royals know firsthand about the challenge of that situation because they had that with Camp Gallagher last weekend, Aroldis Chapman of the Yankees, where, you know, that question comes up. My sense is that they will take the player off the field as the Yankees did with Aroldis Chapman, and he is now not available to the team, and that player is not going to be available to the team until he has two negative tests, you know, back to back. But I wish I could give you, you know, the belief that there's these hard and fast rules that absolutely apply in every situation. I kind of think that in some regards they're making it up on the fly because there are a lot of hypotheticals that they haven't even envisioned. But I do think if a player actually tests positive, they're going to be taken off the field, they're going to be isolated, and then they're going to be expected to you know, be held out until they get those back-to-back negative tests. And even if they were exposed to other players, as we saw with Aroldis Chapman, as you saw with Gallagher, that the other players will be allowed to continue or attempt to continue.
Buster Olney is our guest. All right, Buster, let's try something a little different. Let me ask you about the actual season coming up and baseball.
Woo.
Let's see. How about that? We haven't done this in a while. Okay, so the Royals have been very optimistic. And every time I listen to Dayton Moore or Mike Matheny, or we have J.J. Piccolo on the show once a week, they've been very positive and enthusiastic, and it's kind of helped our mindset when looking forward to the baseball season. And now Salvador Perez is back, and that helps everybody to see him back in action for the first time since 2018. So, when you look at the AL Central and the Royals' opportunity to do something that we didn't think they would do in a regular season, and that's compete, maybe give us an overall opinion of what they're up against in the AL Central and how you think this thing's going to play out in 60 games.
Yeah, and I think that we would probably view them going into the 60-game season as a long shot, but with a puncher's chance. You know, last year, the Seattle Mariners, at the end of the year, 162 games, were one of the worst teams in baseball. Guys, they started 13-2. The Washington Nationals, who finished the year as the world champions, they were something like 12 games under 500 in late May, about 60 games into the season. So things can happen. Look, I think that going into it, you'd have to look at the Minnesota Twins as the favorites because their offense is unbelievable. You know, second in the American League in runs last year, and then they went out and had Josh Donaldson, and they're going to be potent. I think everyone's going to have questions about their starting pitching, but there are going to be a lot of questions about starting pitching for pretty much most teams, except for the Cleveland Indians, who look like they actually have a pretty good rotation. I think the question for them is going to be about their offense and how consistent can it be. You know, will they be able to consistently generate enough firepower in the middle of the lineup to take advantage of the top of the lineup, which should be pretty good. The White Sox, you know, ramped up during the offseason. They went out, signed Yasmani Grandal. They've got some really nice developing young players. But it does feel like, especially with Michael Kopech opting out, like they're going to potentially going to need another year before they really come into play. So it's a better American League Central than what we've seen in the past. You know, in the last couple of years, when I've talked to members of the Cleveland Indians, they felt like that in some respects they were at a disadvantage when they got into the postseason, because during the summertime, most of their games in the American League Central, in a lot of cases, were not competitive. This summer, I think it'll be a lot more competitive. I think the Central is going to be decent.
Buster, you've been putting together a list of top 10 players at each position, and I've been having fun reading those, by the way. It's been kind of getting me in the mood to start watching some baseball as well, and one of the things that actually stood out to me a little bit was the fact that I feel like you like the Royals' outfield. You've got Jorge Soler as your seventh-best right fielder. You got Whit Merrifield as the fifth-best center fielder in baseball, and you know, look, Alex Gordon in left field is at least a Gold Glove caliber player. So I'm kind of curious. That I guess it surprised me a little bit. You're pretty good on the Royals outfield.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Soler for me is going to be one of the most interesting players this year, because we all, you know, saw what happened last year with the explosion of the home run numbers, and so I think for Soler, the question's going to be, okay, what happened last year is a sign of things to come, or was it the outlier in his career? But you can't take away from the production he made. It's clear that he made a lot of progress. And I still feel like as we go along here, I mean, Whit Merrifield is one of the most underrated players in baseball. I was having a conversation recently, and Dayton Moore mentioned the statistic, and I think this is right. I didn't go back and double-check it. But, you know, when Dayton said it, I assumed 100% that it was right. He's had more hits than anybody in baseball the last 2 years. That's pretty remarkable. And we've seen, you know, with the interest level in him at, in possible trade, that tells you a lot about how highly regarded he is around the sport. And, you know, I think that in some respects, I look at the Royals the same way that I do the San Diego Padres, where it's just a question of how quickly does the pitching come, because it does look like among the position players, they're pretty good.
Buster Olney is our guest, and Buster, I think we talked about this way back when we thought their season was going to be on time and normal, but again, we have a manager for the Royals that has yet to manage his first game. The last actual game for the Royals was managed by Ned Yost, who's no longer there. And so for Mike Matheny, I've been pretty impressed with what he's had to say and how he's handled everything so far throughout the abbreviated spring training and now with the summer camp. A lot of people have pointed to Ned Yost, where things didn't end the way he wanted, although he had some success in Milwaukee, came here, kind of reinvented himself in a few different ways, and then won a championship. For Mike Matheny, you know, we've heard from lots of St. Louis fans, good luck there with Mike Matheny, but then you see what his record was. Of course, he had a bunch of talent, but maybe he doesn't get enough credit for the job that he did there. Again, refresh our memories and your opinion of Mike Matheny and his fit with the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake to assume that any manager is going to be the same from one job to the next, just as it would be a mistake to assume that a player wouldn't make adjustments. I mean, Mike Matheny is a player in his career. You know, his job as a catcher was to work with pitchers, work with pitching coaches to coax players and those guys through adjustments in games and from start to start and from season to season. And I haven't, you know, I actually intended to go out and spend some time with the Royals in spring training, and then everything blew up, and I didn't get that chance. So I haven't talked with him. But, you know, I've listened in on the Zoom calls that he's had, and I have no doubt that he's going to learn. And you know, based on, I'm assuming he's probably thought back on different things that he did in St. Louis and felt like, you know what, I can do that better. Or, you know, that was a mistake. You know, players after he left, like Colton Wong, I think they made it very clear that they really preferred Mike Schilt over Mike Matheny. And I know Mike Matheny well enough to know he's going to hear that and not just dismiss it and say, what can I do better? And my goodness, I mean, the list of managers who've learned as they've gone along and gotten better is enormous. Joe Torre, you know, when I covered him with the Yankees, he came in, I think the headline, you know, when he got the Yankees job in New York was basically along the lines of what a joke this guy was, and now he's in the Hall of Fame in part because of how great a manager he was with the Yankees. He was perfect for them. Buck Showalter, you know, he was the manager who, in his early years, you know, was very much about the dress code and about dressing the right way. And when he got to the Orioles for his most recent chance as manager, players were in shorts, taking batting practice. And I think Buck realized, you know what, I'm going to make some adjustments. I think Joe Girardi's doing the same thing in Philadelphia, and I'm sure Mike's going to do the same thing. He obviously has a lot of experience and acumen to work from, and I think he's going to be great.
To be honest, Buster, too, the big expose article that supposedly illustrated the bad culture that he was allowing to happen in the Cardinals locker room that almost like alleged, you know, veteran hazing. When I read all the specific details of it, it was like a veteran player expects young player to show up on time. I mean, like I felt like some of it was like, that's not hazing. That's just holding guys accountable. That's just, you know, asking guys to do their job and be professional. I'd really, to be honest, like when I saw the headlines and then I saw the article, I thought to myself, the substance of this article doesn't match the headlines. It seemed to me like it was a little unfair the way he got treated at the end in St. Louis.
And let's face it, you know, a lot of stories, and I have certainly been guilty of this as a writer through my career, is that you look through the results and that's the prism through which you write your article. You know, guy winds up being fired, and so then you write the article about what went wrong. You're not writing an article about what went right in that situation. The thing that I heard the most about Mike in his time, and the complaints that I heard, you know, players, agents, is that there's a perception that he had a doghouse and that he would get down on a player, and the player couldn't overcome that. I can't tell you if that was actually the case or not, but there are times when the players felt that way. And anybody who's a parent, and Mike is, knows that, you know, in those situations, that's not a way that you want anybody to feel coming into the clubhouse. And I suspect that probably is one of the things that he heard and is probably going to adjust to.
Buster Olney has been our guest. Buster, thank you so much for the time, and thank you so much for the good advice you gave Jake to begin this segment. He will follow that perfectly, I hope.
Well,
thank you, Buster.
Absolutely. I'm a wealth of farm advice anytime you guys want.
Well, since there's no minor league baseball, as our man D. Wag says on Twitter, you're giving us a different kind of farm report now.
That's exactly right.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Down on the farm with Buster Olney. Yep. We will be back with Adam Kaplan. Let's talk NFL. Let's talk Mahomes, Chris Jones, and Veach.
Oh, boy.
Huh?
Oh, boy. All right.
A little Veach?
Yeah.
All right, Adam Kaplan, get ready. Back after this on WHB.